So I don't know how many of you sense that there is a promotion, an upliftment in the spirit. Now I'm asking, I need you sense it, that there is a promotion in the spirit. Yeah. I've been feeling that. It seems God wants to move us higher in the kingdom. He wants to move us higher in the kingdom, so that no one will miss out of this great show of mercy that God is willing to do. We want to labor before Him as we seek for the alignment, that each and every one of us will be overwhelmed by the promotion that God is releasing. Can you steady your heart in prayer and tell Him how that you are willing to be His vessel, how that you are willing to be His messenger, how that you are willing to be His man, His instrument. We give you praise, Lord, and we offer ourselves again intentionally to be instruments in your hands. We give you praise, Lord, and Lord, we bow before you, giving up our worship, that you might take advantage of us to accomplish your will, to do your good pleasure. In the name of Jesus, we submit, we surrender, we align, we yield even to your spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, we see what you are doing, we see what you are working out, we see what you are orchestrating. Your spirit is doing something in our midst, and we acknowledge it. We acknowledge it. We yield to it. We agree with it. We surrender. We submit. Oh God, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, use us, use every one of us as your people, as your functionaries in this time when Jacob is in trouble, when Jacob is in crisis. Use us as your instruments in the name of Jesus Christ, that we might find grace. Let every form of slackness, every form of weakness be swallowed up, be overtaken by your grace, by your power. We call upon your name. We thank you. 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 I say kebobodi. I say kebabobasikade. I say solebokoria. I can't tell you namakante. I come balaturia. I samakade bobora. I sasike mantala. We thank you. We thank you. We honor you. Zakope lakade. Zemo kantori babasato. Ale kombresh kadi. Ala mokosa dabata. A bless contemene. A kabon samakadia. Ikabante konde. Ikabante kasalo. Ikabante kuria. Isansela. Marakatale. Maiko salabontale. Akabonze. Iskoprokotalabonda. Iakabose kadale. Iakatande. Iakababokotala. Iskabando. Ebrekestati. Aparontale. Aparontaseke. Abreskopelatoria. Aparanda babostakala. Rika Santoria. We see what you are doing. We see what you are doing. And we yield. We yield. We yield to your spirit. We yield to your spirit. We yield to your spirit. Oh God. Makayete. Samokoria. Rakasuta balatabinala. Entomenaskadia. Raskopela katebono. Iakabon sabi. Iakasanta baboria. Iakaseminala. Iakasosale. Ebra makanta babola katalia. Esosela. Ekabalato. Ekasendo. Mata Yetoba, Mata Yetoba, Parakasa Tababoria. Lord, we worship. We give you glory. We give you praise. We exalt your name. The Bible says that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be exalted as chief over the mountains. It shall be exalted above the hills, and men shall flow into it. This is one of those seasons that men will flow into this mountain from different nations, from different places. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Now let me say something here. You know, someone was talking with me from one of the African nations, and he said that they are even copying our dressing. This is our dressing. So that means it's a serious response. Can we ask? They are watching us. The way we dress, they now challenge their tailors to produce this kind of. That's what happens when the mountain of the Lord's house is exalted. No, don't clap, don't clap, don't clap. We need to ask God for mercy so that we will not give the wrong example. Don't rejoice, don't rejoice. Say, they go to their tailors and say, are you saying this thing? Produce it. The people we are following, this is what they are wearing. And we don't know if this is where the anointing is coming from. Can we plead with God to have mercy? Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Oh, you can't feel the burden I'm trying to communicate. We need mercy right now to play the role that God has raised us to play in the body of Christ. To play that role in this season. To fulfill that assignment in this season. Can we ask Him for mercy? Show us mercy. 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 I saw Kobela Binazika Talia. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. The impact that God is making, the name that the Lord is making, is among all nations. We got letters from Saudi Arabia. We got letters from Mauritius. We got letters from impossible places. People that are following, people that have received the impact of His witness, of His testimony that is coming from our midst. I think it is time for us to ask Him, show us mercy. Show us mercy so that we'll be worthy representatives of your name, and that we will be effective in bearing witness to your resurrection. Show us mercy as a ministry, as a people. In the name of Jesus, we call upon you today. We call upon you today because we realize that it is not by power, it is not by mind, it is by your spirit. And we seek the help that comes from the Holy Ghost. We seek the help that comes from your spirit. That, Lord, we will continually be an object of strength to the body of Christ, an object of illumination to expose every darkness so that your people can walk free, can walk in the light that you have secured even by our redemption. We call upon you, O God, that the strength that is required to be faithful to the assignment, to the responsibility, that you will make it available, that you will not slack, will not become an object of ridicule to your name. But Lord, your grace will galvanize us, will quicken us, will strengthen us. We call upon you. Oh, Salekobe Madi. Saleboboroko Santale. Rasketo Benante. Iskopantoria. Shamakate Buranaske. Aziza Zaite. Abrante Kombalato. Iskopela Banshala. Aika Barasuka Bendolombo. Unklebreskutelame. Oh, yes, Lord. Africa shall be free. That the flames of revival will capture all the nations of Africa, all the nations of Europe, the burning flames of grace. We call upon you. We ask that you look upon us with compassion and strengthen us with might by your spirit that is in our inner man. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, we give you glory. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. It's a great responsibility when people look to you for leadership. When people learn from what you do, it's a point to restrain yourself and to be fully conformed to the image of the Christ, so that your uprising and down-sitting will be an illustration of the grace of God. The psalmist said, I will look unto the hills. I will look yonder. I will look above. From whence cometh my help? Can we look above? Can we look yonder? Can we look beyond ourselves this for a moment and say, oh, strength of Israel. Oh, power of Jacob. Oh, lion of the tribe of Judah. Fortify us to do your will. For it is written that we are able ministers. Our ability, our qualification is not a function of our wisdom. We are galvanized by the Holy Spirit and the covenant by which you have supplied your spirit to us to equip us once and again. Let that covenant never fail. Shemini compress copita bella kundale. Isto sombe rakaparantos kito brante kulia. Mahalamo siko presta pante mina ante kubera kusta pati. Let that covenant never fail. Let that mercy never fail. Let that compassion never fail. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Master. In the name of Jesus. We arrived in Ethiopia. And when we arrived in Ethiopia, before you allowed to go to your hotel, there is an elaborate security screening that is done. And Ethiopian Airways happens to be the number one flight corporation in Africa. Right? If you see the tarmac in Ethiopia, the number of planes lined up, the only time you will see that in the whole of Europe is when you see British Airways planes lined up. But the number of planes you will see in Ethiopia is more than what you will see in British Airways. So it's a convergence point. So a lot of people will be doing that screening with you from different nations. Now, we were trying to screen. Then I saw some women with hijab, obviously Muslim. And one of them called me apostle. I said, I didn't ask. I said, it's a trap. They are trying to. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So I escaped from that place. Because I know a lot of people hate me too. So we have our own way of protecting ourselves. So when I escaped, she escaped too. I said, Apostle. So I now waited to hear what. I said, do you know that I was advised to follow your messages? You need to see this lady. They were in a team. She left that team to come and talk with me. And I was advised to follow your message. When she talked about our messages, then I said, those words are true. She said she knows that. Let me just give her my number so that she can forward her questions. I froze in that place. You know what that means? Even beyond that's beyond Christianity, the boundary of Christianity, people. It's not an easy place to be. You don't even pray for it. Don't pray for it. Visibility is only one person that should be visible. Only one name that should be known. Alright? Jesus. Don't think any form of visibility is. Always go to him and labor for mercy. It's only in his mercy that that visibility will give him glory and you yourself will be covered. A great thing is happening. A Muslim lady, fully kitted. The ones that only unveil. I froze them. And I began to pray instantly, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, oh God. I'm trying to show you the scope of responsibility that God has conferred and how that we need a tank of grace to power our assignment from this time henceforth. Can you feel what I'm talking about here? Can you feel it? Are you talking about, you know, those buses that we used to pick you up from your aircraft to go to the terminal? You know how limited the number of people in the buses are? Then one will shout, Apostle! Hallelujah. Meanwhile, on the same bus, you will see clerics, Islamic clerics counting. Very serious. And people are kneeling down in that bus for prayer. They didn't go to the clerics. So they are wondering, who is this boy? It's not about the boy. He serves the greatest king of all time. Oh my God! Can we ask him? You are not following me. You are not following me. The way we need to pray about these prayers, it should be more desperate. Can we ask him for mercy? Show us mercy. Show us mercy. As a ministry, show us mercy. As individuals, show us mercy. That everything we do will be a reflection of your will. So that men will find strength in our silence. They will find strength in our words. They will find strength in our testimony. They will find encouragement in our story. That everything concerning us will be a brilliant revelation of the grace and compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Saikabama Matia Lakose. Megobonta Ike Braskito Mokoya. Bamandia Sima Brasketo Mogolo. Dikabahusa Maiko Pama. Rakatiko Bendolo Mobis. Mahasiko Brandeli. Kabiakos Kamantalia Barakanebo. Yes, sing that song, sing that song.
Have mercy.
Ayu kobre mami na si kobre skopilan tori ababa lenari. Ya koseli makadi abobo satoria. Yela man sode, yela man sake turia bakabanda baboria. Satu doske tomila makadi. Shemina ito kobela kosa. Rakata matia dedo. Rakatu minakadia. Apedo se koboski to brenda baboria. Asama na ite. Sama kode mande. Sama kode mandali. Sama kode mandali bora. Akaba santa baboria. Akaba seminakaria. E kumbela siketala baboria. Amesti on me. Maybe one day I will share a testimony. I've been accumulating it. It's in a bag. I will unveil it very soon. We're traveling to Botswana. And since we always use Ethiopian Airways, if it is Africa, they will take you to Addis Ababa. You spend the night in Skylight Hotel. And then the next day, you continue your journey. So we were continuing, and they put us in that bus to take us to our plane. And then somebody shouts, Apostle. A Kenyan man is also going for the same event. And we now meet in the bus. Takes all kinds of pictures. You know, these are the days of... Even when you are sober, people will force you to take pictures. And then he has these very thick spectacles. So we go for the meeting. And then the healing began to flow. And one of the people healed is the man that met me on the bus. The thick glasses were no longer needed. He goes home like the utopian eunuch. I've seen that again and again. And I look at myself. No. It's not me. I have no hand in that. The great monarch just decided that, okay, I choose you for my own reasons to be part of my glory. When you begin to see that again and again, then you need to make it a point of duty to always acknowledge him everywhere you go. The thick spectacles were no longer needed. No longer needed. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. You go to some nations, when you see the level of poverty, your heart will not even allow you to receive prophet of it. Because of, we are far better off than many. That thing you call your struggle is a breakthrough for somebody. Yes, it's a breakthrough. You need to see the setting. It's dry. But they are happy at the gospel. And I see it a great privilege. So sometimes you need to turn down prophet of it, so that the people can meet up with the cancel the debt that came as a result of the meeting. Hallelujah. Because I consider it a great privilege to even be in that labor in the first place. I have seen God go out of his way to prove a point that I am with you. I said, things he will not do normally. I was just doing a lecture talking about the authority of God. Then he now said, okay. There's a practical in this, your lecture. I say, yes, sir. I say, okay. There are people that are deaf here. But some of them are using hearing aid. Tell them to stand up. So I told them to stand up. In fact, I never knew that there are more than hearing aids that when they put it in the ear, you not even see. People began to remove. Oh my God. And he healed them all. No one was left. He healed them all. All. I saw different models of hearing aids, computer chips in the ears of men, microphone speakers, so that when you speak it, it traps the sound until it can send information to the brain. In their numbers, they were no longer required. And when such power is found in your hand, people will want to worship you. But if they see the way you are preaching and how you have borne witness that you are helpless, they will not know that this man represents another. Yes, I am diligent to ensure that I don't pose to be the champion. Have mercy on us. Continually. That our eyes will look upon you as our source and our sustainer, our strength and our defender. That in our words and in our deeds, let your throne be exalted forever. And let your name be magnified. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. You may be seated. Welcome again. And happy Easter. God bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Our preparations for the International Eagles Conference is on top gear. How many of you like the way you feel? I think out of the 12 air conditioning units, they just switched. Pastor Chris, how many units are switched on now? Oh, Pastor Chris is not there. Find out for him. We have, I think that they just switched on 3 units out of 12 to test. And that's a sign, that is, yeah, 3 units have been switched on to test. So imagine what happens when all is switched on. That means you need to check the way you dress, if not you'll come down with cold. It's better for us to have too much air conditioning than for us to have too little air conditioning. So we figured that the central system was not sufficient to take the crowd. So we have labored diligently to improve the comfort that is in the temple while the Lord is ministering to his people. We believe that a mighty army will arise from this place, and we will not stop at anything to ensure that God wins. Hallelujah. So we want to give a big clap offering to the technical people laboring day and night to improve our conditions of worship at the embassy. Hallelujah. And if you go across the road, you see some construction going on there. I know most of you have noticed it. That is our hospital. We are building a hospital. Yeah. Building a hospital there to serve this entire community. And after which we'll begin to build a school at the back there and to build many things. All right, we began something yesterday and I'd like us to continue. Turn your back with me to the book of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. But you see, yesterday we were trying to show us how we are expected to benefit from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I showed us that it was the glory of the Father that was responsible for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the glory of the Father is one of the nicknames of the Holy Ghost. And anytime you see the glory of the Father in the Bible, it has to do with raising up. Just in case you are down there and God wants to raise you up. It is the Holy Spirit, but that dimension of the Holy Spirit that raises you up is normally referred to as the glory of the Father. And it will interest you to know that it's the same glory of the Father that is
the energy that powers your Christian life. So if we are going to benefit from the resurrection of Jesus, then we must understand that what we have power in our Christian life had the ability to undo death. And death happens to be the greatest problem of humankind. And this glory of the Father is the cure for death. It's God's cure for death. So if God gives you an investment that has the capacity to undo death, it means there is nothing else that can constitute a challenge in your life that the glory of the Father cannot handle. In fact, the full understanding of the Christian faith is how to walk with the glory of the Father. When the Bible says that there is an expectation that God has on the account of the investment that has been made, and that expectation is called the newness of life. You see, the introduction of this personality called the glory of the Father is designed to give you a perfectly new outlook to life, if you can take full advantage of the resources at your disposal, you will testify indeed that it is a new life that God has called us to. You are not expected, therefore, to prosecute life from the resources of the fallen nature, from the resources of the flesh, of the resources of willpower, from the resources of human native intelligence. There is a new operating system that is designed by God to drive your life. And this new operating system is the same ability that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. In the book of Romans chapter 8 that I requested that we should look upon, we have a very powerful piece of scripture. And Romans chapter 8 is quite interesting because it gives us a broad scope of the operation of this new spiritual commodity that we have received in Christ Jesus. And when I speak of the spiritual commodity, I'm talking about the glory of the Father, who happens to be the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in verse 1 of Romans chapter 8 that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, that statement, as powerful as it is conditional. It means that if you are in Christ Jesus and you fulfill the conditions I'm about to reveal, you are going to live life that is suggestive of alignment, suggestive of peace, suggestive of adequate connection to God and adequate access to the resources that God makes available. What will make your life different from the life of the unbeliever is that you are adequately positioned to take advantage of the resources that God has made available in order to equip you to fulfill your unique destiny. The unbeliever has no support system from heaven. He has to take advantage of the resources of his fallen nature and his native intelligence, his human connections, and all of that. And if he can achieve great feats with those resources, you can achieve greater feats taking advantage of the ability that is in the Holy Ghost. So the first thing that the Bible says is that, meanwhile, this scripture is one of the scriptures that we see reveals the symptoms of alignment with God. If you are experiencing, if the Holy Spirit inside of your heart is manifesting the sense of displeasure in your heart, it is a proof that you have wandered out of alignment. The thing about working with God is God gives us measures by which we can judge our alignment with Him. Just like, in order for you to know the temperature, there is an instrument called the thermometer. In order for you to know the pressure in a place, there's an instrument called the barometer. In walking with God, there are diverse signs that the Holy Spirit gives us just to show that we are in keeping with the alignments that are necessary for us to receive the full scope of empowerment that God has made available. Now, this scripture is a scripture of alignment. It says that there is now, therefore now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. What you see, like I said, this scripture is conditional. Those people that are going to walk beyond the reach of condemnation are the people that walk not after the flesh. That means, if you walk after the flesh at any point in time, the Holy Spirit will register His displeasure. And whenever the Holy Spirit does that, it is proof of the fact that you are no longer in alignment. And what it means in organic form, in organic parlance, that you are no longer in alignment, it means that you cannot access the resources available to empower you, just because you have wandered outside of alignment. Then the barometer, then the thermometer that is inbuilt in your system, the reading gauge, now blows an alarm that your life is no longer factored in the secure place of alignment with God. And that is what registers as inner displeasure or inner condemnation. Are you there with me? All right. So if we walk in the flesh, the Holy Ghost in us is not going to be pleased, and we are not going to have access to the resources He has made available to power our lives. That means your life in the Spirit is not a life that is prosecuted in the flesh. It is possible for you to walk in the flesh, but that is not the original design. That's why the Holy Spirit will cry in your vessel anytime you begin to find compatibility with the ways of the flesh. You see, the Holy Ghost knows that you don't know how to live. In fact, in the eyes of heaven, are you with me? In the eyes of heaven, heaven believes that the only thing we are capable of doing very well is to rebel. And that's why the first message that was preached when the kingdom was to be introduced to Israel was repent. Because the only thing we are capable of doing very well is to rebel against God. And now in walking with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit is a tender, gentle fellow. And the Holy Spirit will never force His will upon you. You will never walk with the Holy Spirit if you are not willing to walk with Him. And just in case you don't know what to do, He will give you the readings on His barometer, just to give you an insight into your level of compliance as you walk with Him. One of the readings on the barometer. Are you there? Oh my. I said, are you there? Stay with me. What I'm doing here is what we call the doctrine of life. It's not doctrine of letters. It's doctrine, the teaching about things, about the workings of the organic mechanism that God has built into us by His Spirit. That's what I'm trying to make us understand. And Romans chapter 8 happens to be the golden chapter in the Bible that supports this direction of education. So there's an inner parameter of measuring alignment built into our heart. And it is a rejection alarm that shows that we are beginning to find compatibility with the flesh. And life in Christ cannot be factored in the flesh. Because what the flesh is to Satan is what your spirit is to God. The flesh is infrastructure. The flesh is the conductor that can carry satanic activity. Alright? So if Satan wants to walk in your life, he needs to bring you to a point where you are aligned with him in your flesh. Are you there? So that's the infrastructure he walks with. That's the point from whence he walks from. But you see, the Holy Spirit walks through your human spirit. It is possible for the Holy Spirit to be working in your human spirit and the devil to be working through the apparatus of your flesh at the same time. Are you there? So, spirituality and carnality are two concurrent realities. They exist at the same time. Satan wants you to choose the flesh. The Holy Ghost wants you to choose the spirit. So your life is going to be a result of what you decide to choose. Are you there? Now, meanwhile, when the flesh comes to make an advertisement to you, the flesh will suggest to you that there is some profit that you have to gain by yielding to it. The flesh doesn't come to administer its proposal without any benefit attached. The flesh gives you an analysis. The flesh is an educator. It tells you that if you get hold of this thing, there's pleasure there. Pleasure to be explored. Hallelujah. There is no instrument on earth by which you can quantify the loads of pleasure that you can draw from this matter. The flesh is an advertisement center. It's trying to make you desire the properties and the goods that it carries. Meanwhile, the Spirit of God is not as loud as the flesh. The workings of the Spirit of God within the membrane of your heart is not as loud as the flesh. The flesh is very loud because it needs to get your attention. And that's why anyone that eventually gives attention to the flesh is carnal, because the person is responding to the loudness of the flesh. And when you go the way of carnality, the barometer is going to cry out, which is suggestive of the fact that you have wandered out of alignment. The results you are going to produce by that, by yielding to the flesh, are results that God is not expecting you to bear, are fruit that God is not expecting you to bear at all. So there is a rebuke from the Holy Ghost right there in your heart to register God's displeasure. And that state of condemnation you are brought under because you are in violation of alignment is something that can be an experience that you will never have if you perpetually walk by the Spirit. See, God is loving. And He knows that you are likely to be enticed by the flesh again and again. So He puts an alarm in your heart that He will ring any time you are beginning to choose the wrong thing. I think God is fair. So if by any means you violate the restraint of the alarm, you are not following me. Are you following? If by any means you violate the restraint of the alarm and choose what the flesh is offering, it was not because you were not aware that it was wrong. Neither was it because you did not have the opportunity to change your mind. It is because you... And that's why it's called the work of the flesh. You walked, you labored seriously before you were able to achieve what the flesh was inviting you to come and do. And the extent to which you find compatibility and alignment with the flesh is the degree to which you deny yourself the opportunity of exploring what the Holy Ghost is inviting you to explore. The Holy Spirit knows that you don't know how to live. If you are given a choice to make, you will choose the flesh, because the flesh is loud, and because your old man is used to the workings of the flesh. But you see, he calls us, what he calls the Christian life is the newness of life. It's something that you have not experienced before. And so he's giving you an invitation to explore God as astronauts explore space. Hallelujah. So all the products that the flesh advertises will still be available, seeking to attract your attention every day. The fact that you're working with God doesn't mean that the flesh will withdraw its products. The choice to walk in the flesh will always be available. But it will take a choice to stay with the Spirit consistently. And every day you need to make that choice. Are you there? That is the burden of the Christian life. You will need to choose the Spirit deliberately on a continuous basis on a daily basis, and you will need to deny the flesh on a consistent basis and on a daily basis. The same way, someone that begins to try fornication can eventually become addicted to fornication. And even though the person wants to stop, the person may not be able to stop because the spirit of immorality has taken over. And in a situation where the spirit of immorality takes over, the person's will to change is no longer has the authority to drive the person's life away from his covenant with darkness. So at that point, the person will need deliverance. Will need to come under the influence of a more superior energy, a more superior authority, a more superior power to displace the presence of the spirit that is responsible for the bondage. In the same way, if you begin to drive and begin to walk with the spirit, you become addicted to the spirit. You become a slave of the spirit. It will become very difficult for you to walk in the flesh. Oh, you're not with me. I know you don't believe. Come with me. I need to do this work very well. This is the very... Romans chapter 8 is the crown chapter of the book of Romans. And if we want to treat it, we must treat it diligently. Because almost all of the secrets of the Christian life are hidden in the book of Romans chapter 8. I can never get tired of studying Romans chapter 8. Never get tired. Because if I grow a little more in God, and I go back to the book of Romans chapter 8, I will see things in the book of Romans chapter 8 that I never saw before. It will interest you to know that the extent to which you can see divine revelation in the Bible is dependent on your current level of growth. The Bible is so prophetic, and the Bible will only open to you to the extent of your pursuit of Jesus per time. It's like onions. How many of you know onions? And then you unravel the back, then you see a fresh one. That's how the Bible is. Then by the time you expose that one, it becomes dry. Then you unravel that one, then you see. That's how it is. So that you are walking with God, it becomes new to you every day. And that's how we live with the same book. We are touching different layers. And the Bible is actually a book that sustains dimensions, gates to dimensions. So you can be studying the scriptures and you can have an encounter, a word encounter. The agency through which you had an encounter with the Holy Spirit was because you were meditating on the word of God. And you met with the Holy Ghost on his thought level. Then he releases an impartation on you. How many of you have experienced that before? How many of you have come to the Bible before and you were just studying and the Bible, it was as if the Bible was talking and directing you? Can you go here? Can you go here? It is because what you have in the scriptures are gates to spirit dimensions. When we say the book is living, the book is alive, we are saying that it is a meeting place between you and the Spirit of God. If you open your heart to it, then the book opens. If your heart is not open, the book will be closed. The book knows how you come to it. The day you open your heart, I say, I want to know what you are saying. Then the book will be open. There are principles that you can adopt and you will see freshness every day as you explore the things of God. If you are still with me, say, amen. Amen. Now, in order for me to explain what I'm saying more perfectly, I might need to take us to the book of Romans. Romans. Chapter 6. So there are two options, there are two realities. The realities that are obtainable when we walk in the flesh and the realities that are obtainable when we walk in the spirit. So we'll begin from Romans chapter 6 verse 18. Please stay with me. It's a complicated scripture. And if we read it carefully, you will see what it is saying. Romans chapter 6, verse number 18. Being made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. These are the kind of scriptures we read in the Bible when we say there is no vacuum in the spirit. It's either you are a slave of sin or you are a slave of righteousness. What I mean by what I'm trying to make you understand here is that you are going to have to serve something. You may not be aware that whether you like it or not, you were created as a creature of service and you will serve something. It's either you are into active service to sin or you are into active service to righteousness. When you become such a believer that is flowing with the Spirit, what happens to you is that you become a servant of righteousness. The nature of God that is righteous will begin to drive you around. And your life is going to be an illustration of the reality of righteousness. And if you decide to serve the flesh, you will become a slave of sin. And this is irrespective of whether you are born again or not. You will need to make a choice that I am going to walk with God by His Spirit. Then you will realize what the language of the Spirit really is. Because the language of the Spirit is summed up in a few things that I will show us in a moment of time. Are you still with me? Just like the flesh has a language. The language of the flesh is enticement. Enticement. That's the language of the flesh. Suddenly you behold a damsel. Because before you got married, you like ladies that are tall. And when you commune with the Holy Ghost, the Lord now gave you a short lady. But the devil knows that there was a love that was deep in your heart. So, he now shows you an advertisement of a lady that is just that height. 6'0". So you are enticed. That's the language of the flesh. The flesh needs to seduce you. The flesh needs to convince you. And the flesh needs to entice you. That means Satan needs to show you that there is some profit for you to gain in this adventure. The language of the flesh is the language of enticement. If Satan wants you to be involved in corruption and they bring a deal, as you see the dollars, you see, the thing that will motivate you to be part of the deal is an enticement. Anytime the flesh wants to gain mastery over you, Satan projects an enticement. An enticement is a theory, is an encouragement principle that Satan uses when he advertises the likely profit that you are going to draw from a certain adventure. So the language of the flesh is what? Enticement. Don't ever forget that. The Bible says that whenever a man is tempted, he's drawn in his own lust and is enticed. Satan knows that you are very intelligent. You start for physics, undergraduate, you pass. You start for masters, you pass. So Satan needs to bring an argument into your life that will be convincing enough for an intelligent lady like you to be interested. So it will bring ideas and it will show you the profit that you can gain. And then he uses that profit to entice you. Just like we used to do for little children, you bring 1,000 naira, then you show the child like this. Are you interested? So Satan normally comes with his products and he causes your mind to touch his products. He brings advertisement to your mind. And it will interest you to know that Satan can communicate with you without talking. He can speak into your head. Today and tomorrow, he can speak into your head. It doesn't matter how anointed you are, Satan can speak into your head. Hallelujah. Even when you are high in fasting, his ability to advertise his products are still very potent. So you will need to live with the reality of advertisements coming from the flesh all the days of your life. You know why? You are not falling. I'm looking for the simplest scriptures in the Bible to illustrate this matter. Some of the most difficult scriptures to illustrate this matter are in the book of Leviticus. If we go there, all of you will run away. But this simple thing that I'll still be speaking from those scriptures in Leviticus chapter 8, you will see in a more graphic but a more complex disposition. So if Satan wants to get your attention, what does he do to you? He entices you. The moment you notice that you are being enticed because it is something that will weigh heavily on your soul, that's when you need to take a fast. It means that you are for sale. You are on the trading floor. You are on the stock market. Satan wants to know your price. But if you understand theologically and you know that Jesus died for us, he paid the price for us, and no matter how costly a commodity is, you don't pay for it twice. So I am his property. So I'm no longer for sale. That's the reason why, irrespective of how many times he tries to get at me and to put me on the stock market, I am not for sale because I do not... Yes, he's still enticing. I get all the vibes of his enticement, but I choose not to align with him. In your Christian life, there is a golden power that Satan cannot manipulate, which is the power of choice. If you go the way of fornication, excuse me, you chose to do it. If you go the way of lying, excuse me, you chose to do it. If you become a thief, you chose to do it. Because Satan, all he did was to show you his product. He couldn't force you to take what he was offering. So if you chose what Satan was offering, it means you are part of Satan's escapade. That's the reason why God will judge you, because your choice was involved. Somebody was telling me the other day, is it not Satan that tempts us? Why is God holding us responsible? You tell that to babes in the scriptures. Not to men like us. Because the best that Satan did was to bring an enticement to you. Yes, the lady was interested, but only one person being interested cannot result in immorality. At some point, you chose that. She's from Naka. Anna, you have been looking for a friend from Naka. You made some. You complied. That's why it happened. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. All right. In the book of Romans, chapter 6, the Bible says, we have been made free from sin and we became servants of righteousness. Now, follow his logic. A theologian wants to speak to us. In the next verse, he says, I speak after the manner of men, but because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye yielded your members talks about the parts of your body, you yielded your body, servants of uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity. You see, can you see the word yield there? Oh, you're not following. The classic word that is in this verse is the word yield. Even so now, yield your members. Make a choice that my body will become an instrument of righteousness. The righteousness is a nature. Are you there? So righteousness has promptings. Righteousness has invitations. Righteousness has advertisements that it makes, just like sin advertises through enticement. Righteousness is also advertising. And the dream that God has is that you yield to the advances of righteousness and become holy. Can you see that? Now, let us see the two ends of the pole. The first end of the pole is that you yielded your members as servants of uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. So the end product of becoming a servant of uncleanness is that you become a man of iniquity. Have you seen that scripture that Jesus rebuked those people that claim to have worked signs and wonders? We prophesied in your name. We did miracles in your name. What was Jesus' quarrel with the guys? He said, depart from me, ye walk iniquity. Even though you were moving with my anointing, are you there? You were moving with my power. Anytime there was an enticement that came from the flesh, you never spared yourself. You took advantage. Even though you were still moving in the anointing, it was clear that there was a calling on your life, but you were walking in iniquity. It means that you were born again, but you did not choose Jesus. You were born again, but you did not yield to Jesus so that Jesus can make you the kind of creature that he intends. You chose iniquity, even though you accepted Jesus once upon a time. You chose uncleanliness, even though you accepted Jesus once upon a time. And Satan wants to make you a creature of iniquity, even though you have accepted Jesus. God wants to make you a creature of holiness, because the more you begin to walk uprightly and walk by the Spirit, unknown to you, you become eventually separated unto God. And there is nothing outside of alignment with God that will come easy to you anymore, because you have become a slave of righteousness. So if you practice sin, you become used to sin, you become addicted to sin. If you practice righteousness consistently, at first when you start, you will have issues. Keep going. If you practice it consistently, it will become natural for you to operate righteousness, because the grace of God to make it happen will be flowing in your vessel on a continual basis without fail, and it will be easy for you to choose God and walk with God. And so, let me continue with the reading. It says, what fruit ye have then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. So the fruit of all the adventure in uncleanness and iniquity is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit in holiness. The fruit of yielding to the Spirit of God perpetually is that you become separated unto Him, and the Holy Spirit becomes the only one that operates your vessel. Everything about your life is an illustration of the nature of the Holy Spirit. So what you are doing at that stage is that you are not only serving God, but you are representing God. Because the Holy Ghost is the one that is flowing out of your vessel so sublimely that everything you do is traceable to the Holy Ghost. You are an advertisement for the Holy Spirit. This is the nature of the Holy Spirit on display in your life. And that fruit of holiness will lead you to everlasting life. And the fruit of uncleanness unto iniquity will lead to death. You see, these are two lines. Oh my God. Hallelujah. I can't dwell there. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. So when we go to the book of Romans chapter 6, which is a very critical scripture in laying out the shape of our lifestyle, the shape of our reinforcement, the shape of our empowerment, as God is hoping that we will choose life every day, we'll choose the Spirit every day, we'll choose His promptings every day, and become such creatures that are slaves of righteousness even unto holiness. He brings a challenge to us that even when we want to choose the flesh, there is a barometer, an alarm that God holds up to ensure that He makes you aware of the fact that your choices are not choices that will support the purpose and the vision that He wants to accomplish in your life. And now, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but we walk after the Spirit. Please help me tell your neighbor, we do not walk after the flesh. We walk after the Spirit. So my business as a Christian is to ensure that I perpetually know how the Spirit invites me to obey Him, how the Spirit invites me to walk with Him. A definition of the Christian life is walking with God. So God is inviting all of us to walk with Him. And this is possible because of resurrection. You know, the power that drives us in our new life is the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And that power does not just come to change us, it comes to exchange us. So that the kind of life that we live is not a changed life, an exchanged life. It gives us the life of Christ, not an improved life. It's exchanged totally. It's something that the Bible calls a new life. If you are still with me, say amen. Two things I need to show us quickly before I shut down for the night. We need to see the laws of the Spirit, which is what verse 2 is talking about. It speaks about the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. First of all, we need to define what a law is. What a law is. Hallelujah. What is a law? Amen. What is the law? I know we have scientists in this room. What exactly is a law? Doing your hand like this is not the answer to this challenge. Okay, please give her the microphone. We will need to learn from her vast experience. A law.
I think a law or laws are established rules and regulations.
Establish rules and regulations. That is weak for a scientist. That's good for someone studying the humanities.
Yes, I
but for us in science. See the physicist there. Give her. No. Not you. There's one physicist there. The lady in white. Let her help us. What is a law?
The laws are rules governed by nature.
Laws are rules. Is he a scientist? The way we talk, we are so different. Rules governed by nature. Now, thank you for that. If I drop my handkerchief, why doesn't it go up? It always comes down. Even if I throw it up, it doesn't keep going up. It comes down. So it is almost always constant that if I drop my handkerchief, it goes down. That means there is a law that makes it go down. And we discovered in science that the law is called the law of gravity. Can you see that? So a law is something that is almost always constant. The presence of the law is revealed by something that is almost always constant. See? Almost always. If I drop this thing here, because of gravity, it will come down. This is the evidence that we have a law that supports its direction anytime it is dropped. Are you there? And it will be foolish of you to walk against laws. Because I know it is here, I taught you, and I said some percentages of the power of God are invested in laws. And that's what we have in the book of Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. When Noah came out of the ark, and Noah was interceding, trying to find the mind of God, said, now you have destroyed the world, you destroyed the whole world with a flood. So how do you want us to live now? Because we know you can get angry one day and destroy the world again. You have made us insecure. So can you commit yourself and make us know how to live? God now came and said, as long as the earth remains, what he did was that he established laws. So part of God's power, part of God's authority is exercised in the laws that he has approved. So it will be in your interest to study these laws so that you walk with the laws and not against the laws. Is that clear? So we have the law of gravity, we have the law of buoyancy, we have the law of lift. And when you see planes flying, it is because they engage the law of lift. And if you can engage the law of lift, you can actually go over and above the influence of gravity, and that's why the plane can fly. And when the plane flies to a certain point, if you can no longer generate the energy through fueling, that will keep the engines and the turbines running so that they can overcome gravity. And the jet engine, the jet fuel finishes. Even though you have intentions to continue the journey, gravity is going to set in. And may you not be in on a plane that... Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. So in the same way we have laws in the natural, we also have laws in the supernatural. We have laws in the spirit. Right? Because, like I said, there is no need for us to fight gravity. If you know that gravity exists, what we need to do is to find out how to use gravity to help us. Alright? Now, Makurdi is a very sunny city. Okay? Don't fight the sun. You can't, you will not succeed. But you can use the sun. Get solar panels. Connect it. Let the sun give you electricity. That a fan can run in your room during this hot season because of sun. You are taking advantage of what is available. You are not fighting it. You are just drawing from its strength. So spiritual intelligence requires that we take advantage of the laws that are obtainable in the realm of the spirit. Are you there? So I need to give us a quick lecture on the laws that are obtainable in the spirit realm. First law is the law of the spirit of life. Second law is the law of sin. Third law is the law of death. Put in bracket paralysis, the law of paralysis. So let us start investigating these laws, and I will use 15 minutes to achieve that. And if I achieve the laws, I will stop. Next time we come, I'm going to show you how the Spirit of God brings life into your spirit man, how the Spirit of God can bring life into your mind and make you think the thoughts of God. Are you there? Or you are not following? You are not following. Do you realize that 99% of curses affect your decision-making processes? When we say someone is under the influence of a curse, what a curse does is that it affects your decision-making processes. It's not as if you are not intelligent. You can sit for an exam and pass. But whenever you want to make a decision, you make a decision that puts you into bondage. That's an evidence. That's a very likely evidence that you're operating under a curse. So part of what the Holy Spirit does in our redemption is that it gives us the opportunity to come to that point when our mind is made life. Now, the meaning of that is we can think the thoughts of God. We can now make decisions according to the counsel of God. And even if there's a curse in your family, because you have a realm in which you can access the counsel of God, you fly higher and above the realm of curses that are predominant in your family. And that's why you can come to a family and see everybody is afflicted, but one person is just lying. The reason is because the person has discovered another law, and the person has decided to take advantage of the potential of that law. And what will happen to you is that your life is going to be an exclusive example of a possibility that is a departure from the norm in your family. Is that right? Oh, are you following me? All right, so let's go to the book of Romans chapter 7. The law of sin and the law of death is similar. It's related, not similar, but related. So, Romans chapter 7, verse 15 reveals the law of sin and the law of death. Can you help me, O man on the console, to give us a very simple translation of Romans chapter 7, verse 15. Is the, what's that one? ESV. What's that? English Standard Version. All right. It says, "For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." Is that clear? Those are two laws. When we say, when he says he does not do what he wants, it means he wants to do something. You know, I told you that another name for the law of death is the law of paralysis. You see, everybody can be sitting down in this auditorium right now, but if I say, all of you stand up, that's when we will know who is paralyzed. But as long as everybody is sitting down, you will not know who is paralyzed. Until I said, all right, everybody get up. And then you will now discover some people cannot get up. Not because they don't want to get up. They don't have the ability to get up. So the law of death, or the law of paralysis, is the presence of an inability to fulfill the expectations of God. The law of death, or the law of paralysis, is the presence of an inability. You see, when you are walking with God, there are expectations that God begins to furnish. Right? Like, every unbeliever knows that immorality is bad. Every unbeliever knows that walking free of immorality is the way to go. But he wants to do right. He wants to stop immorality. Huh? He wants to begin to live clean, but he doesn't seem to have the ability to live clean. It's a suggestion of the fact that he is paralyzed. His inner will is not what he finds expression in his actions. His inner desires is not what eventually finds expression in his actions. So he has a desire, but he is paralyzed. He cannot perform his desire. That's the law of death. And the law of sin is the law of negative ability. The law of negative ability. "For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." Doing the thing you hate, that's the law of sin. The law of negative ability. So like I said, these two laws are intertwined. So when someone wants to stop smoking, have you seen someone in that state? He hates smoking. And then for 2 days, he uses his will to say, no more cigarettes. Then after 2 days, you will see him again. All that he refused to smoke in 2 days, he will smoke it. Because there is a negative ability for him to accomplish what he hates. In his heart, he hates it. But he doesn't have the ability to stop it. The other one wants to what? The other one, what? For what I do not want. Huh? For what? For I do not do what I want. He wants to do something. He wants to live right. He wants to live free. But he doesn't do what he wants. He's paralyzed. Then what you now hate is now what you do. That's the law of sin. And that's the law. The law of death talks about paralysis. And the law of sin talks about negative energy. You get? It's on the strength of this negative energy that we conclude that sin is a power. What is a power? Is ability to do work. Sin is a power because it provides negative energy for people to do the things that they hate. Do you get it? Okay. So in view of the above, these are two negative laws. And these two negative laws exist to make us slaves of sin and to make us bound by sin. So what God did was that he introduced another law. Another law that is higher than the law of sin and the law of death. And the moment I decide to subscribe to the law of the Spirit that is in Christ Jesus, I can go beyond the reach of the law of sin. It's just like gravity. Sin is like a law of gravity. Anyone trying to go up brings him where? Down. And this is the state of every fallen man. Do not expect that a fallen man should do good. I know most of you have younger ones, and you will quarrel them and say, you are useless. See your life. Do you know that your talk cannot achieve? There are two laws that keep the person in that perpetual state of defeat. The only way the person can live above that state of defeat is when we introduce the third law. And fortunately and unfortunately, that law is in Christ. So the second... Are you there? The second thing I want you to understand about resurrection is that that law of the spirit of life in Christ, do you know the name? Is the law of resurrection. That's where I'm going. That law of resurrection is sponsored by the glory of the Father. I told you that the glory of the Father brought Jesus out of the grave, brought him. That same glory of the Father is going to bring you out of your fallen state and bring you to your resurrected state. That glory of the Father. It's a stronger energy than sin and death put together. Are you there? So somebody is asking me an intelligent question, and I need to answer that question before I shut down. I know you go for evangelism and you see people that are hooked on weed, hooked on marijuana, hooked on cigarette, hooked on lying, hooked on immorality, hooked on fornication. And you know that they want to come to church, and many times they are giving their life to Christ, but they still find themselves in sin, so they don't even believe in the power of our salvation, because the salvation we preach doesn't seem to have the solution to take them out of the reach of the law of sin and the law of death. I have a solution for you. How do you migrate from this state of limitation that is created by the law of sin and the law of death? How do you migrate into the law of the Spirit that is in Christ Jesus? So just like the law of death is called the law of paralysis, and the law of sin is called the law of negative energy, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is the law of resurrection. That's the second thing about resurrection. If we are going to experience resurrection, it is only the power of resurrection that can take a man beyond the reach of the law of sin and the law of death. That's where I live. I see all the advertisements of sin every single day, like every other person. But you see, I have a law that keeps me upheld beyond the reach of sin. If you know what I'm talking about, you will never want to be outside of alignment with the Holy Ghost. If you know what I'm talking about. Okay, let me give you an idea quickly. The first thing that you need to do to activate the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus is to acknowledge your inadequacy in the flesh. Acknowledging your inadequacy in the flesh. One thing about the Christian faith is that at any point in time that you lose your virtue of sincerity, you stop becoming a victorious Christian. A victorious Christian walks alongside with his virtue of sincerity. When you lose your virtue of sincerity, you lose your victory. So I go into the presence of God and say, Lord, you know what? I'm a liar. That's how it starts. You know, many of you go into God's presence and you go there like the way Jacob went with Esau's garments. You are masqueraded. You have another identity. It doesn't work with God. And that's why when Jesus rose from the dead, one of the first things he did to his disciples was to show them his wounds. You see, he was bare to them. Many of you, you are not capable of that level of sincerity that will make you strip yourself before God. And if you cannot strip yourself before God, you are not ready for empowerment. I'm a fornicator. I'm an adulterer. I'm a thief. I'm a liar. That's what I am. Have mercy on me. I came to you with this problem because I've tried to solve it myself, but the law of sin is a law, so it will almost always happen. Have you heard that a righteous falleth 7 times? Have you heard that? That's the law of sin. Anytime the righteous is trying to use the resources of the flesh to conquer sin, what will he find? He will fall into it again. And it will 7 times. But every time it will happen, that will be the outcome. So when you see that it is consistent and what you are doing doesn't hold any key to liberty, then you go to the author of life himself and report yourself. The moment you acknowledge that you are insufficient in yourself, that you are incapable in yourself, you go and report yourself to God. Don't speak in tongues then. Because most of you, instead of you to say I'm a liar, you say psycho malakia bokoribosai. Mea komina sila kantoma kabarate. No, don't do that there. Don't do that there. Pour out your heart. Do you know what it means to pour out your heart? Let everything in your heart come through your mouth. Not that you instead of you to say, I just committed. You say, Kaiketamoke. No, you are not ready for it. You are not ready for it. That's why we don't take sinner prayers in tongues. You pour out your heart. You pour out your heart. We need to say this on the mountaintop because I don't know, there has been a move from the kingdom of darkness to swallow up every form of sincerity in the Christian faith. To make a Christian a thief. To make a Christian false and fake so that people will no longer have confidence in our Jesus. No. So you go to the Lord with sincerity and you tell him the way the things are. That if you don't help me, I will still lie again, you know. But I need to be delivered. So when you say all of that before him, something will happen. When you go and you are confronted with the advertisement that used to come to you that you could not resist, you will notice he will supply his spirit. And you will have the ability to make a choice whether you want to go for sin or you don't want to go for sin. You will have, after that prayer, you have the ability. He will not supply so much energy. He will just supply enough for you not to be overwhelmed by the advertisement and to have that respite so that you can make a choice. No, I don't want what you are bringing. Even though you pray for him to supply the grace, you will need to make a choice for him when the time comes. So whenever people come to my office and say, I don't know how the thing happened, I engage them with Bible study so that they will know that they just lied. Whenever you pray and ask God to help you in conquering the law of sin and death, what he will do is that he will supply help enough for you to be able to look at the options of what Satan is advertising and make a choice. The God of heaven will not make a choice for you. It is when you make a choice against what Satan is advertising that he now records in heaven that indeed this man wants to live free from the offense of sin. And then you have one victory. If you have one victory, the next time Satan comes, his advertisement will have diminished in power. And you can look at it and laugh and say, no! And the third time he comes, oh my God. It will happen almost naturally that you know what to choose. And the more you begin to choose what the Holy Spirit is choosing for you, you no longer have condemnation. The way of the saints in Christ is a way of alignment because they choose what God is choosing. They take what God is offering. And as you begin to live that way, God begins to suck you into the realm of the Spirit so that you can become more one with him. That's what we call separation unto God. When you are more separated unto God, what God does is that He saturates you with His Spirit. And the saturation exercise that God puts you through, because you are separated unto Him. Are you there? Are you there with me? You choose what He's choosing. You like what He's offering. What God does, because you have come to that state where you are willing to take what He's giving you, is that He begins to saturate you with Himself. That saturation is what makes you like what He likes. Desire what He wants. That is the state of sanctification. The state of sanctification comes because you have decided to separate yourself unto God, to choose what He wants, to accept what He's offering, and then God begins to saturate you with His presence. When He does that, your appetite for the things of the flesh will close up. And then the life that you live, being saturated by God, is called holiness. Satan is still making his advances. He's still putting up his advertisement, but no, you are not interested. Because you are saturated with God. And God gives you a new appetite. This new appetite comes with new desires, with new things that you love to accomplish. Unknown to you, you begin to like what God likes. You want to do what God desires. You want to give your life to accomplish what God wants to accomplish upon the face of the earth. How many of you have seen the scripture that says it is God that walketh in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure? Then He begins to walk in us by giving us His desires. Now, use another translation. Can we do that Philippians chapter 2, verse 13? Which is where I want to stop. English Standard. No. This looks like King James. Give me a very different one. For God is at work within you, helping you want to obey Him, and then helping you to do what He wants. Do you have NIV there, please? NIV. You don't. Okay, give me another. Okay. For it is God who works in you. No. NIV. Give me a strange one. Very strange. For it is God who is working in you. But no. See, I have an encounter with this scripture. For it is God, it is not your strength, but it is God who is effectively at work in you, both to will and to walk. That is to strengthening, energizing, and creating in you the longing and the ability to fulfill your purposes for His good pleasure. This is, I've had an encounter with this scripture. How God showed me that He's the one responsible for the desires that are flooding my heart. And when I say, yes, Lord, He now opens the tap of grace. And grace becomes the empowerment through which those desires can come to pass. Now I'm no longer living for myself. I am living exclusively for God. This kind of living is possible because of resurrection. If not, all of us would have been victims of the law of sin and death. Exclusively bound under His power. But in resurrection comes a new law. The law of the Spirit of Christ that resides in the Holy Ghost. The more I say I need You, it means I don't want to do my thing. I don't want to walk in my ways. I want to become that creature that is reflective of Your will, Your purpose, and Your desire. Hallelujah. These are the provisions that gave us the impetus to walk away from sin and to embrace the life of holiness with God. This is the basis of the Christian victory. It is a law, so it is almost always constant. That as I yield to the Holy Ghost every day in the place of prayer, as I seek His face, He empowers me to live for Him. The moment you begin to lose your prayer life, You will, those old things, they will revive. As long as you keep the requirement that keeps the law sustained, your victory is guaranteed. You say, okay, you are angry with God, you won't pray for 1 month. At the end of 1 month, we'll come to bail you out of prison. You would have been jailed. Because all the ailments of the old creation, we need to come and bail you out of the station. You would have done things. So we refuse to disconnect from Him. Every morning, we find grace so that we are saturated. At the moment we are saturated, we have a new catalog of desires that comes upon our hearts. And it is within the framework of these desires that we prosecute life. So even if people are gambling in our city, if brothels are making money, we don't know. Because we walk according to a new law. Victory that is in Christ Jesus is revealed in our lives. Our lives are evidences that Jesus rose from the dead. Part of what the ministry of the apostles is about is to bear witness of His resurrection. Living above sin is proof that He rose. It's the same power that brought Him out of the grave. That is the same power that brought us out from sin. The Spirit of glory. We want to pray tonight. I don't know. How I wish I had time to show you the glory that is in the Christian life. What God is inviting us to partake in. He's not calling superstars, He's calling ordinary people that are willing to yield. The system has a law that supports it. Once you align with that law, the law will carry you up. It's not about your capacity, it's about the law that is already functioning. Like I said to you before, God vests some of His power in the laws He makes available. And the law that guarantees our victory is the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Now, I want you to take inventory of your life quickly. Which aspect of your life is slack? Is there an aspect of your life that you still defeat? Maybe there's a sickness you've been struggling with. It's still the same law of the Spirit of life that will take you away from that sickness. The same law. Just like you don't have the ability to heal yourself. That's the same way you don't have the ability to live above sin by yourself. God has ability in the law of the Spirit of life to make you live above sin. He can also make you live above sickness by the same law. Hallelujah. For a believer doesn't just die. No. Keep walking with God. You will find out that your exit from this world is not in the hand of the devil. I'm telling you this from the scriptures. It's not in the hand of the devil. Your exit from this world will be by the decree of the Lord. When your assignment is accomplished. It's not something that will come suddenly. For accurate people that work with God, you will know that your time has come. You can even say it 1 month, 2 years before it happens. It's not an escape. No. Life with God is majestic. So put your fears away from you. God has called you on a journey of glory, and His hand is upon your life. His hand, His Spirit is upon your life. God wants to make you an object of advertisement to His faithfulness. If Saul the murderer could become God's champion, then the life of every man can be changed by the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus.
The first prayer we want to pray tonight is, Lord, I yield. In the midst of the advertisement, I choose you. In the midst of the enticement, Satan comes around again and again to entice me, to show me how I can explore the possibility of pleasure. I choose you. There is more excitement in the Holy Ghost than there is excitement in Champions League. He calls you into inner communion with Him so that you can uncover the strength of His presence. That's why He lifts men up. That's why He strengthens. That's why He imparts grace. I choose you, O King of Kings. I choose you. I choose you tonight. I choose you tonight. I choose you tonight. Yes, I choose you. For the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ has made us free from the law of sin, from the law of death. That law takes us above. It takes us higher. It lifts us from where fallen man has been deposited. It takes us to the high places of grace. Are you battling with sickness? There is a law. The law of the Spirit of life can take you out. It was the same Holy Ghost that brought Jesus out from the dead. He can take you out of sickness. He can take you out of sin. He can strengthen you with might by His Spirit in your inner man. For it is God that worketh in us both to will, both to do, according to His own good pleasure. He can make out of you a champion. He can make out of you a conqueror. It doesn't matter where you are domiciled and the challenges that bedevil men in that location. There is a law at work. There is a law at work. It is the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ. Yes, amo kabalaite. Jima kopreskete. I will not serve sin. I'm not gonna be a slave of sin. Satan wants to master every one of us. He wants to make us slaves to His will. But we have a choice in Christ. There is an option that we are open to. There is a choice. We choose the Lord. We choose the Lord. And now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. I am free from sin. I am not a slave of sin. I see the advertisement of sin every day. I see the advertisement of darkness every day. But I choose the light. I choose the Holy Ghost. I choose Jesus. I choose Him already. Christo mokobre ele kadibal. Iendo bobo shikatande baboria. Ialabon shaka belia kedo kosemi. Ronde ke sekila bon sami. Barantos keto bondo. Alakatalia. Abranda babokota mana. A seminai tete, raka bonde, raka samakoda, raka mensale, raka babote kasketi andola, ambraste katala, Akababosate. Ala prosketo mantelia. Ila kusamaya. Ila shamakatelia. A prescopidata. There is a law that supports my victory. A law that makes me a champion. A law that established my victory. Lai sokoma la brasketa. Iala bon sami. Iala makala. Brasketo bondele. Akambe suke babakuda. Abranda babondelia. Aseminantele. Alaba bayaka. Askeba bonda. Alia sinda. Abranda babokoya. Asia bole. Eskele. Ela bokonda, ela samapadia, abranda babokota mena, asemena kote bokoto kobo, abranda baboria, esika babababa. We choose life. We choose righteousness. We choose holiness. We choose eternal life. Oh, we choose to be slaves of righteousness, that our members will become slaves of righteousness, that the promptings of the Spirit will be recognized and follow the Lamb wherever He leads. Oh yes, we are not of this age. We are not of this world. We are pilgrims. We are citizens of heaven, navigating through time. By the power of the grace of God, we make contact with this wicked age, but we are not contaminated because we are saturated with the Spirit of God. We like what He likes. We do what He wants. We are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. Saikoboro kote balamate. And so me, Kadiambo Rasuke.